So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, and the text is 59. Nāyāsya cittam bhairata vibramam
Nāyāsya cittam bhairata vibramam
Thāma guhāyam ca viśuddham avishapt
Thāma guhāyam ca viśuddham avishapt
Yad bhakti yoga nubhītam manjasa
Yad bhakti yoga nubhītam manjasa
Muni vichaste nam tatrate gatim
Muni vichaste nam tatrate gatim
No.
No.
Never.
Never.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Us.
Us.
Chittam.
Chittam.
Heart.
Heart.
Bahi.
Bahi.
External.
External.
Harta,
harta,
interest,
interest,
vibramam,
vibramam,
bewildered,
bewildered,
tama,
tama,
darkness,
darkness,
guhayam,
guhayam,
in the hole,
in the hole,
cha,
cha,
also,
also,
vishuddham,
vishuddham,
purified,
purified,
avishat,
avishat,
enter,
enter,
yat,
yat,
that,
that,
Bhakti Yoga,
Bhakti Yoga,
devotional service,
devotional service,
Anugrihitam,
Anugrihitam,
being favored by,
being favored by,
Anjasa,
Anjasa,
happily,
happily,
Muni,
Muni,
the thoughtful,
the thoughtful,
Vichaste,
Vichaste,
sees,
sees,
Nanu,
Nanu,
however,
however,
Tatra,
Tatra,
there,
there,
Te,
your,
gatim,
gatim,
activities,
activities.
Translation: the devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service, and who is fervent by bhakti devi, does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely clean, cleansed of all material contamination in this way, the devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. Translation again. The devotee, whose heart,
has been completely cleansed,
by the process of devotional service, and who is favored
by Bhakti Devi,
does not become bewildered, by the external energy, which is like a dark well, being completely cleansed, of all material contamination in this way, a devotee, is able to understand, very happily. Your name, fame, form, activities, etc.
etc.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25, Satam Prasanna Manavirya Samhita Bhavan Pirit Karna Rasayana Kata Tad Josanata Asapavarga Vatmani Shraddhati Bhaktira Nupanisati. Simply by the association of pure devotees, one can understand the transcendental name, fame, quality, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has repeatedly said, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kaya Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Haya. Simply by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes wonderfully advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sadhu Sangha, or association with a devotee, means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and by acting for Krishna. Specifically, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra purifies one, and this chanting is therefore recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chittadarpanam Arjana. By chanting the names of Krishna, the mirror of the heart is cleansed, and the devotee loses interest in everything external. When one is influenced by the external energy of the Lord, his heart is impure. When one's heart is not pure, he cannot see how things are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Idam Vishwam Bhagava Ivetara. He whose heart is purified can see that the all cosmic manifestation is but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he whose heart is contaminated sees things differently. Therefore, by satsanga, or association with devotees, one becomes perfectly pure in heart. One who is pure in heart is never attracted by the external energy, which urges the individual soul to try to dominate material nature. The pure heart of a devotee is never disturbed when he executes devotional service in the form of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. You know, there are 9 processes one can follow in the execution of devotional service. In any case, a pure-hearted devotee is never disturbed. The bhakti yoga process must be carried out by avoiding 10 offenses one can commit while chanting the Maha Mantra, and the 64 offenses one can commit while worshipping the deity. When a devotee strictly follows the rules and regulations, Bhakti Devi becomes very much satisfied with him. And at the time, he is never disturbed by anything external. The devotee is also called a Muni. The word Muni means thoughtful. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. The non-devotee's speculation is impure, but the devotee's thoughts are pure. Lord Kapila and Shukadeva Goswami are also called Muni, and Vyasadeva is addressed as Mahamuni. The devotee is addressed as Muni, or thoughtful, when he purely understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that when one's heart is purified by the association of devotees and by the avoidance of the offenses committed when chanting and worshipping the Lord, the transcendental name, form and activities of the Lord are revealed by the Lord. The devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. Mukham karoti vachalam pangurlam vayate girim yatripat mahamande shivurum nirakarinam paramananda madhavam sichaitam manishwaram. That should go right. So, here, Satam Prasanga Mahavira Samido Kapila Muni. One can relish the wonderful narrations about the Lord's name, form, qualities, and activities in the association of devotees, and is faith. His attachment and his devotion become strengthened. They develop and they become so strengthened up to a point that they are immovable from the heart of the devotee. So that's a very beautiful picture of how one should progress in devotional service. That progress is enacted by the association of devotees. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Shastra, Kayava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Siddhya. And it is even said that a lava, which is 10th, 11th part of a second or something, just that is enough to give you all this. So, one like me may be left wondering why, after 37 years of devotional service, a 10th devotional service, sometimes it's still, not totally realized. I mean, to use a euphemism. So, Here it is explained very nicely, especially Prabhupada, very concretely, very realistically, that one is attracted by devotional service. Everyone is attracted by devotional service. Someone comes in touch with the pure devotee, cannot avoid becoming attracted to devotional service. That process starts within the heart. But, you know, the cleansing of the heart is something very, very deep, and it takes really all our energy, all our life, all our determination. It has to become the goal of our life without any other consideration. If it is not approaching that way, at best it goes slowly, and at worst it stops. We were discussing yesterday with Yogananda Maharaj. He's making a research or something on the ISKCON sannyasis. Those who left, which percentage, which is quite a percentage. Even many of those who have association with Srila Prabhupada. So one may be left to wonder. They had not a lava, but they had lots of association with Prabhupada, or, with other devotees. And they had taken a strong vow, determined, because Tamsastaya Paratmanistam, Vyasa, Purvatamayakarashi, this is a verse that the sannyasi had to chant before Gayatri, right? Yes?
This is the
Brahman.
Yeah.
I thought this was the one. Okay, yes, therefore I'm not qualified to explain. So the one has to take a strong, determined vow to cross the ocean of nations and the Paramanista, means fixed with, the association of Paramatma. Means, I'm taking a vow, and this is actually for all the devotees, just the sannyasi, structures and defines this vow more determinedly and more clearly. Now, I'll live my life and see the objects of the senses, to see the world, to see everything in association with Krishna, in the association of Krishna Paramatma. So much so that I will only deal with the objects of the senses in devotional service, to use them to serve Krishna. In this way, I'll follow principles that are directing this sort of life. They are structuring this kind of life. And I'll come to the point of wanting to perceive Krishna and nothing more. So that's what one vows to do, actually, even at the time of initiation. Because we have an external vision. We are like in the hands of the Pisachi of Maya. So we have an external vision. We don't see Krishna, we don't perceive Krishna, and therefore we cannot appreciate Krishna. We are obsessed by different forms of illusion. Lust, greed, anger, etc., madness, envy, etc., etc., So, when we see the world of Krishna's energy, we see it in a distorted way. Actually, we are seeing Krishna right now. We are sitting on Krishna, we are touching Krishna, we are hearing Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna. We are breathing Krishna. We are thinking Krishna, actually, of course, in one way. You know? But we are not connected with Krishna. Why? Because our attitude, our mental disposition, our heart's disposition, is that of not wanting to serve Krishna. And therefore, we don't see. It's just like Prabhupada says, you know, you don't see the old body, you only see a part of the body. You should see the old body, you know, Krishna. Everything is Krishna's form, actually, ultimately. So when you don't see, you see only a small part, and you don't see the rest. To give an example, somebody who is lusty, you know, he sees a woman, he looks at her breast, so he just sees the breast, he doesn't, he forgets the person there, or someone who is greedy, you know, he sees, you know, someone, you know, Rolex or, you know, Vacheron, instant watch or whatever, you know, and it just looks at that, you know, well, that watch is 100,000 euros, you know, just looks at the watch and forgets the person. So that's what we are doing. We are seeing Krishna all the time, we are in Krishna, we perceive Krishna, our senses are Krishna's senses. They are part of Krishna's senses, and we, you know, Krishna's senses perceive Krishna. So, but we are disconnected. We are separated. We are because of the distorted motivation that we have in our heart of the, you know, different motivation. So, this association with the pure devotee, what does? Why does it excite us and triggers? Because in a fractionary way, say, according to our disposition, changes that attitude within our heart. We don't understand how that happens. Hare Krishna. You have a good image. We don't understand how that happens. And it's just due to enthusiasm, the natural original enthusiasm of the soul for Krishna. The soul is fond of Krishna. You know, really, it's all, but really, it's part of Krishna. Krishna is fond of himself. He loves himself. A part of himself loves himself. Loves Krishna also, naturally. It's a natural thing. But And the pure devotee is that pure part of Krishna that is very happy to be in his pure identity as part and parcel of Krishna, and, you know, and fulfilling his mandate as part and parcel of Krishna, his love of Krishna. So when you associate that happiness, that bliss, that full conviction and determination and you know, pure life reverberates in our heart. And just like a sympathetic string, like here's a sitar or whatever, a sympathetic string, main string. Now, vibrates when you vibrate main string. So the heart of the soul a little bit, you know, vibrates in the association. We tend to think that that is artificial also, and we're always afraid that someone artificially imposes something upon us. So I have to associate with a pure devotee, and then he thinks for me, he decides for me. He you know, this is not natural. I should be the one who, you know, is, you know, naturally disposed, you know, spontaneously disposed toward you. Why, you know, it has to be through association. There is something so overimposed on me. No, it's not like that. It happens very naturally. You desire to be healthily engaged in Krishna consciousness, happily engaged in Krishna consciousness. Because you are no different from that pure devotee. He is a pure soul, you are a soul. He is a soul, you are a soul. Only that you have distorted vision, he doesn't. He is your intimate family member, he's your intimate friend, You're both part of the same body, Krishna's body. You're part of the same form. You're part of the same character, part of the same identity. So your identity is part and parcel of Krishna's identity. So it is more than natural. But we may tend to think, oh, it's something artificial imposed upon me. And therefore we recalcitrate. We're not willing to take the natural path of Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna, what does Krishna do in this case? You know? He tries to help us by being, first of all, very patient and very considerate about our condition. He doesn't push or unadvisedly make us become Krishna conscious or conscious of him, because we would react in a negative way or make it as if possible. If Krishna makes me Krishna conscious, I'll be so glad. Did you ever think like that? Why not? And people think, after so many years, why, you know, Krishna consciousness, of course, I'm committing offenses. But why do I commit offenses? Why do I still commit offenses? Because I want to commit offenses. You know, not because somehow or other these offenses are there, personified offenses come to me and they strangle me and they give me up. No, I'm asking for offense, you know. And therefore, you know, Krishna doesn't in an invasive way, you know, push me or force me to become Krishna conscious. This wouldn't work. Generally, it's a mixed, you know, preparation. One wants to become Krishna conscious, some percentage. And in some percentage, wants to maintain something on his own. So Krishna very kindly, patiently sees the situation and very expertly, through the association of devotees mainly, changes that mental format, that mindset, changes our mindset in a way that we realize it's us that want to become Krishna conscious. I want to become Krishna conscious. In a way that is not traumatic or, imposing on us. He does that. He's very expert. Any being impatient, let's say Krishna today says, what's today? The 18th? The 18th of October. No, September. 18th of September. Krishna says, okay, how fast? Now you gotta see the perfection of everything with me. You have to see the material nature and its forms and its the way they really are. Okay. From now, that means you see that your hands, your body, you see how it's connected to me. You can't take a breath without thinking Krishna. And see that how he's providing the air, how he's providing the low gravity, anything. Whatever I look around, I see the connection with Krishna. If I am married, my wife, I can see that how her form is manifested by Krishna every second. And Krishna is always there. You can't get rid of him. It's always there. In the air you breathe, in the sun, you see the sun, Krishna is there, how he's manifesting. The sun is manifested by him, he is there. Every time you can't turn, you close your eyes, you see Krishna, you can't avoid it. No second, you sleep at night, you try to, have a break from Krishna a little bit, because, he's still very calm. Yeah, you say Krishna even when you drink. And as far as looking at you know the forms and the material nature, no more you know skin view. You know, you penetrate everything. You know, you see the body in its reality. Okay, you see the real skin. You see behind the skin all the nerves, all the muscles. You know, you see everything. The blood that's circulating. You know, the internal organs, your liver, you know, his liver, her liver, you know, his intestines, his hair skull, you know, everything, you know. You have a multi, you know, dimensional view, and you can't get rid of it. You see your son, you see his skeleton, very dead, as a skeleton, you see his liver and everything, and you see a dog coming in the street, a bird going with the skeleton, with the blood, you know, and everything, you know, becomes a monstrous world, right? How can you embrace your newly married wife? You know, it's not enough with you. And you're there with the liver, with the lungs, with the nerves, and everything. The brain, that, you know, it's like, it's, how can you do that, you know? Everything becomes distasteful because we are accustomed to a certain degree of illusion, and Krishna. So that's why Krishna is expert. Doesn't put the foot down. No, now immediately. You know, you have to have this view. It just we get this kind of view. Become Krishna conscious, we'll come to a point in which we can see constantly things as they are without being disturbed. And we'll see Krishna everywhere without feeling obsessed by Krishna. We'll come to that point. But we have to purify our heart. Therefore, first phase of association with the devotees is the purification of the heart, and that purification of the heart consists in becoming truly humble, you know, wanting to humble and determined, wanting to purify our heart for real and following, you know, their instruction, which means associating with them. Associating with them means following their instruction. I understand how this is again. I know that is the goal is something that maybe at the present stage is, you know, even disturbing to my mind. But I humbly want to follow your instructions because that's the only way for me to reach that goal. And that goal is the only possible goal, and everything else is illusory. So when one is determining that way and humble, then Prabhupada says, Bhakti Devi is pleased, because one is following instruction. Bhakti Devi is pleased. And she permeates the heart and makes it tolerable that you are not what you think you, who you thought you were, or, you know, and you will not be what you hope you would be in the material sphere. You know, she'll make it tolerable, and it'll make it very sweet, she make it very sweet. The chanting of Krishna's name, the singing of Krishna's form, and she will make the offenses more and more distasteful. All kinds of offenses, more and more distasteful, so that we become properly situated. We cannot, at this moment, relish Krishna's name form. You know, we do in a certain, a certain degree, but it's not what we like. I mean, the liberated stage, and in the liberated stage, the appreciation is something that we have no idea of, actually. It's not just a more intensified appreciation of Krishna the way we have it now. In the liberated stage, it's actually absolute freedom and anarchy, in one sense, of impure love. Even the senses, even, you know, the thoughts, they take your thought, they take life. Each individual senses, sense, you know, works on his own, and like, you know, they are interchangeable. It's like unthinkable, that condition of life. One has to be prepared for, because otherwise you think you lost yourself. And you lost yourself when you go back to Krishna. You lost your material understanding of yourself. So at that point only, the name, the qualities and the form, the activities of Krishna will become so relishable that one will never give up. That's the point. The one will never give up. The eternality of devotional service is not an intrinsic, inherent quality that is there just because of philosophical or you know, ontological setup. It's the eternality of devotional service is based on rapture, how do you say, rapt ecstasy. Just that you never, not even for a lover, never. You want to give up. That's how one becomes attached to Krishna and stays there eternally. So, in order for that to happen, great purification has to take place, and that is enacted in the association of the devotees. Just a little brief thing to conclude. How this lava, you know, for a second, even unknowingly, how, you know, the heart of the Guru reverberates. I was Srila Prabhupada's guard in Mayapur, you know, used to take shit. So, at 7th door, I think it was 75 or something. And Prabhupada was in his room, and I would be walking up and down the veranda, second floor. Sometimes stop and chant softly, because otherwise you can disturb. And sometimes stop and then, you know, and then go on the railing there and look outside. And the chanting was, you know, I spaced out. I mean, just again, chant. Look around, look at the lawn, look at the brahmachari there, and it was like, I'm chanting like this, you know. And, you know, as usual. Chanting, it's the brahmachari. So, you know, it's just, and they're chanting, you know. And at one point, just from nowhere, the chanting became wonderful. The name, you know, I mean, it was so sweet, it was so blissful. You know, I started chanting Hare Krishna. And I concentrated on the name. I have to avoid falling asleep, I have to keep chanting. Not that kind of concentration, that's the general endeavor that one has to do. But it was just natural to think of the name and how the name was nice and how, yeah, I chanted, you know, a few mantras like this, and I wonder how is that happening? So I sort of realized, and I turned my head to the right, and Prabhupada was, and you know, with his job and on the next, you know, my first step was, on the next one, and he was smiling and looking at me and chanting with each other. So I said, "Did I go like this? I did, you know, just because he started chanting japa, constantly. So that's the point. You know, his consciousness was so attached to Krishna, his heart so pure, his love for Krishna so perfect, that he reverberated, into my heart, and chanting became wonderful. Then of course my after a while, I started, the remembrance went away, and I started chanting in my normal way. But it is a fact that even a moment of association like this changes the heart. The regulative principles and the process of sadhana are meant to keep you attached to the devotee, to the pure devotee, even at times when you wouldn't want to be, when your materialistic conscience will take you away from that. So it's very important to follow the regulative principles, to chant Hare Krishna and the regular number of rounds, minimum number of rounds, and therefore and gradually but surely they'll become moved. Del means the acharyas, bhakti devi. They'll become moved by very sincere effort. That's what we're actually trying to do. And we shouldn't think that because Prabhupada is not physically present, he doesn't see how we are endeavoring what we are doing with our spiritual lives. Their power is so big that its power of mercy is so big that it can cross time and space, many circumstances. They say in Maripur that when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was coming out of the balcony of his house and looking, they, even the Muslims or the peasants, those who were working the land, they would feel something, some change in their consciousness. And then they thought, oh, he's coming out of the balcony. And then they knew that he had come out of the balcony. And his consciousness would permeate, they would understand all the something. You get from some old inhabitants of life. So great is the power of the pure devotee. We have this great mercy, and we're part of, the members of ISKCON society. If we understand how fortunate we are, there's no way we can lose this opportunity. But you have to be very careful and follow and avoid committing offenses. Otherwise, even with the best intentions, thinking, oh, great determination, I want to do it, then even when, intelligent devotees, there were many intelligent devotees. I was telling Devanand Maharaj, I joined when two sannyasis, came to Kathmandu, and one of them was very intelligent. I mean, he spoke Sanskrit fluently. Kishatamataji was Rishikeshananda, Rishikesh. He was he could speak Sanskrit, and he knew half of the Chaitanya, right? I mean, it was amazing. Intelligent. If some of your friends, spiritual masters, you maintain attachments, I think it becomes very, very, what can Krishna do? Prabhupada said, I'll do anything for my disciples. I read this stuff, chanting Hare Krishna, and, this is what can I do. So let's keep tight this mercy of the pure devotees. That's the only way we can progress. Okay, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?
He was also saying, and you were also elaborating on that, the only way we can really attain the state of seeing Krishna everywhere and all the time is we need the association of pure devotees. So we all know that, we all agree that Srila Prabhupada was pure, and like you said, we just because he's not physically present doesn't mean we don't have his association, but then the other devotees that we associate with in ourselves also, we're not pure, and we see that they're not pure, so then should we just associate with Prabhupada and just get into his books and see, watch his videos, and if some other devotee talks to us, don't talk to me, please. And just,
That sounds a bit drastic, isn't it? what about associating with all the devotees, keeping Srila Prabhupada's present? You know, keeping Prabhupada at the center. You know, in other words, thinking about these instructions, these, you know, his ecstasies, desires, his plans for expanding Krishna consciousness, it's true. If we want to have an ISKCON without Prabhupada, without the Mukta Mahapurusha, without the liberated soul that has been sent, you know, by transcendental order, then it would be an ISKCON, be a mediocre performance.
Yeah.
But to go on the other extreme, I just want to be with Prabhupada, and the others are all impure and all, you know, conditioned somehow or other. That doesn't please Prabhupada. You're not really with Prabhupada. Because you want to do that. It's just like Krishna. You want Krishna but without the entourage. Somehow or other, we were part of Prabhupada's entourage. Yeah. He took many strange conditioned souls as his entourage. But then it's nonetheless, we are his entourage. You know the story in London when Prabhupada was laughing, right? He must have been. Prabhupada was laughing during the Sunday Arti. London, in a workplace, there were these two Avyasas of Brahma and Narada Muni, right? Small ones on the top, the original thing. Prabhupada was laughing, and someone went, I don't know who went, it was Chansung there, and they wanted to ask him after the kirtan. So the ladies were dancing. He wasn't just smiling, he was laughing. That's, generally smiles, laughing. So the Buddhist went to ask him, why were you laughing, Srila Prabhupada? So his answer was, because Narada Muni was laughing. So they asked, why was Narada Muni laughing? So he was laughing, looking at open lectures and So we have a strange entourage, we're like a court of miracles, Louis XIV, all the guys. He had the court of miracles, the king of France, right? The sun king of France. Okay? He had a court of miracles. He means all the people without one leg or without wrist, and he would be like the sun king, king of France, and all these, strange guys, all these freaks around. So, nonetheless, we are, Srila Prabhupada's entourage. So we can't just take Srila Prabhupada without his ISKCON, because otherwise it's just like trying to take Krishna without his entourage. And it's philosophized Krishna, Prabhupada says. It's the Krishna of the impersonal, you can't Krishna. So, you have to take Srila Prabhupada in his movement and appreciate. But in order to appreciate those who Prabhupada saved and those to whom he gave mercy, you have to, be Prabhupada conscious. You have to keep Prabhupada in the center. So, one shouldn't go to either extreme, not just think, oh, Prabhupada is gone. How, you know, the new gurus are here, new acharyas are here. And, you know, the way Prabhupada was to you or Prabhupada disciple, the same way I am to my guru, totally, you know. It doesn't exactly work like this, because Prabhupada is, you know, is the foundational Shiksha guru for everyone. This is Prabhupada's moment. And your guru is guru within this frame. Is not and proportionally to the remembrance of that, then you are Krishna conscious, you have your relationship with your guru. But proportionally to the forgetfulness of that, then you are not really Krishna conscious, and the relationship with the disciple loses validity, you say. So that's not good, and also it's not good, just Prabhupada, everything else. After Prabhupada, the world collapsed, and after God, there's nothing else, everything is impure, everything is, you know, it's a mess. Does it answer your question? Okay, any other questions or comments? Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.